The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Radio Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN Plus, wherever you get your podcasts. What's up, nerds? Clippers in an 0-1 hole. Who needs to step up for L.A. to get him back in the series? Kawhi, right? He's the best player on the team. When's playoff Rondo going to show up? Because the answer is neither one of those two. That's not who needs to step up. The Max Kellerman Show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Going to get to the Clippers and Jazz and Nets and Bucks in a few minutes. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Suns take a 2-0 series lead over Denver. I thought the Nuggets would be able to steal a game at Phoenix. And my prediction in the beginning of the series was Denver in seven, because I thought even without Jamal Murray, that's a deep enough team, deep enough backcourt, expecting Will Barton back, that they'd be able to win a game on the road, defend home court, and win the series. But they dropped both, at least the first two games, on the road to the Suns. And the second game last night did not bode well. It doesn't bode well for Denver. Game one was an interesting game, and I thought, no, I see, like, you know, Porter Jr. can score, and they have what they need. Game two, Porter Jr. was not a reliable second option at all. Jokic did his thing, what, 23, 24 points, double-digit boards, bunch of assists, didn't play the fourth quarter, you know, and had a big game. He had no help. DeAndre Ayton did his thing, again, both ends of the floor. He's a good player. But you... Jamal Murray, if Jamal Murray was on this Denver team, I think they'd represent the West in the finals. He's not. But as I said, deep backcourt, right? But look what happens. Porter Jr., who had his back wrapped at the end of game one, clearly, and this is why Jerry West passed on him twice, as Stephen A. has pointed out on First Take. This is why he slipped in the draft, because of the back. You know, I guess the medical reports scared teams and had them say, okay, we can't be too... you know, mesmerized by his offensive talent, because my God, does he have offensive talent, Michael Porter Jr. And in game one, it showed itself, and it helped the Nuggets, but in game two, it just wasn't there, because he clearly wasn't healthy. That's the first thing. The second thing is, Will Barton finally gets back from the hamstring, but that affects the rotation. It affects guys' minutes. So not only does Will Barton have to be reintegrated into the team, and he's not playing up to his usual standards, but it affects, like, Aaron Gordon, who had a bad game and is a pivotal player for this team. Like, the Gordon trade is what made me think, oh, my God, Jamal Murray and Jokic with Gordon and Porter Jr. and the depth in the backcourt, this team can really do something. But Aaron Gordon didn't have a good game, and I think that's partly related to Barton's minutes. He didn't have 15 or 16 minutes, Will Barton, but that affects the rotation. The question is, Michael Malone, did coach make the right choice? I'm not second guessing. I guess I am second guessing. I'm not saying he made a bad decision, because it's a dilemma. The real definition of a dilemma is not a tough choice. It's a choice between two bad options. So what are your options? You have to integrate Will Barton you're going to need him, especially without Jamal Murray at some point. That is likely, usually the team, when you get that piece back that first game, it's kind of rough. So do you do that on the road? Do you do that at home? And Porter Jr., in retrospect, maybe you should have sat him out game two so he'd be more fully healthy for a game three, because now, who knows, maybe he's not good for the rest of this series. And if that's the case, the Nuggets have no shot. Chris Paul, of course, not only with 17 points and 15 assists, no turnovers. Booker with 18 and 10 boards, but 17, 15 assists, no turnovers. And listen to Chris Paul on DeAndre Ayton at the postgame presser.
Can't ask for more from somebody like him. Like he guards, he runs, he rebounds, he does everything. He's literally been our MVP in the postseason so far.
No, you can't ask for more than Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is passing, scoring, assisting, leading, timing. You know, he knows when to score, when to be a pass-first guy. But he's also upping, the former number one overall pick, who is, he's not a bust, Ayton. Of course not. But if you had to redo that draft, would he go first? No, Doncic would go first. Would he go second? Probably Trae Young goes second. right? I mean, he wouldn't go first. So that guy, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul is not only influencing, I'm sure, in practices and behind the scenes, but then in public, sitting down and boosting him, upping him, which increases his confidence and his and the feeling he has, like the way he can feel himself, by saying he's our MVP. Obviously, Chris Paul is their MVP so far, or Devin Booker. But DeAndre Ayton, when Chris Paul gives him all the credit, it's another example of Chris Paul's leadership and at this point in his career experience. Now, listen to Michael Malone, Nuggets head coach, about what happened to his team in game two.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency. And that's why we got our ass kicked.
Mm-hmm. What else? You feeling good after this loss, coach?
I felt we quit tonight, which is something you never want to see. So I guess for game three, I'm just going to try to find guys that will at least go out there and leave it all on the line. I may have a hard time coming up with five guys that fill that, but these two games, these second halves, have really been disappointing, and that's an understatement.
Look, I respect Mike Malone a lot. I think he's an excellent coach, and I think he's trying to push his team's buttons, right? That's why you call him out like that. I didn't see a team that quit. I saw a team that got buried, and coach has to take some responsibility for that decision. Again, a dilemma, a choice with two bad options, a choice between two bad options. This is no good, and that's no good. Like, if you don't play Porter Jr., how are you going to win? And you got to reintegrate Will Barton at some point, but do you save Will Barton maybe for the home game? Because that first game is usually rough when you try to bring a piece back. If it were me, in retrospect, seeing how bad Porter's back clearly was, in retrospect, the idea would have been to sit Porter out. You play Barton because you want to get that first game over with, but you sit Porter out so that for game three, he's the closest version to his real self that he could possibly be. Because now you may have a continued compromised Porter Jr. going forward, and you're in a must-win game three. You got altitude at Denver. You're down two games to none. You must win game three. And you're going to need Porter to be himself in game three if you want to win without Jamal Murray. And I do think, though, that they will win game three. I think that Aaron Gordon's not going to have another game like that. That reintegrating Barton has now at least that first game where it's usually worse before it gets better. Lakers fans, think about when AD first came back. Sometimes it takes a couple of games, though, right? But Denver doesn't have a couple games. Meantime, the Suns look like the team I thought they'd be before the season started. Once they brought Chris Paul in and Jay Crowder, they were 8-0 in the bubble with Devin Booker as their best player without Chris Paul. Now you're talking about Chris Paul with Devin Booker in the backcourt, Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder in the front court with DeAndre Ayton at center, and he goes from the biggest question mark on the team to a reliable, young, athletic guy who can score the ball and defend the other team's big, even when that other team has an elite big. Like, you're not going to stop Jokic, but DeAndre Ayton, especially in game one, did about as good a job as you can on Jokic. And he made life difficult for AD in the previous series. I mean, if you want to test a big and his resolve in the playoffs, a young ascending big, a pretty good test, right, is the gauntlet. You know, you're talking about AD and then Jokic. DeAndre Ayton's looking really good right now. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, Clippers at Jazz tonight. Utah's up 1-0. Utah's up 2-0. What am I doing? How are my wires crossed? 1-0. I'm sorry. Right. I'm coming off the Denver Suns game. Excuse me. Clippers at Jazz tonight. Utah leads 1-0. They're at Utah. They're 3-point favorites, Utah. The game is on ESPN. Let me tell you what this game is about. And Donovan Mitchell, it just feels like it's already 2-0 because Donovan Mitchell put on such a performance in game one. And it's not like, well, he scored 45 points. How often is he going to do that? Donovan Mitchell, don't forget that series against Denver last year when Mitchell and Jamal Murray went head-to-head. All-time classic. First-round series, all-time classic. Donovan Mitchell had two 50-point games and another 40-point game in that series. But he had a 57 and a 51. A 57! It's almost 60 points! He came a three away from giving you a 60, a 50, and a 40 in the same series? So it's like not like 45 is out of the ordinary for him. That's what he does normally. And that's the thing about Donovan Mitchell. He is normally a star. Is he a top 10 player normally? No. No. You can name 10 players in the regular season, I think, pretty quickly before you get to Donovan Mitchell. Like, let me give you an example. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry. I'm up to four, right? Kawhi Leonard is five. Luka Doncic is six. I haven't mentioned a big. Jokic is seven. AD is eight. Giannis is nine. And then you have a bunch of guys you can choose from. Kyrie Irving. Damian Lillard. You have a bunch of guys you can choose from. He's not a top 10 player in the regular season. In the playoffs, he's better than half the guys I mentioned. The hardest thing to do, the top level of clutch is, you know, like Dante's Inferno. Dante Alighieri is considered the second greatest writer in any language to Shakespeare. And he had a lot of political opponents in his day. And he, you know, skewered them all in his poem, The Inferno, about the different levels of hell. You know, and his little political opponents were on different. Here are the hypocrites, and this is a lower level of hell, and this is a lower level. I have the same thing for clutch hell, or choke hell, right? On the highest level is Michael Jordan or Mariano Rivera. This player is the greatest who ever did it, or arguably the greatest who ever did it. And under pressure, I mean, normally in the regular season, and under pressure, they get even better. Wait, Michael Jordan, across the board, greatest player of all time. How'd he do in the playoffs? He took the highest standard ever, which is his own standard, and he raised it. Objectively raised it. Same thing with Mariano Rivera. Lowest adjusted ERA in the history of baseball for all pitchers over 1,000 innings. Well, how'd he do in the playoffs? His ERA was one-third of what it was in the regular season in 140 postseason innings, which was the best of all time. In other words, the greatest of all time when it mattered most got three times as good as the greatest of all time, which was him. That's the highest level of clutch. Underneath that are guys who are great players. Fernando Valenzuela, Curt Schilling, right? Great pitchers, but when it matters most, they become all-time great. They become among the very best ever. And then underneath that are guys who are like always clutch, and they're always great, and in the clutch, they remain great. Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, same guy. Donovan Mitchell now, already in his career, if it continues like this, is in that second category. You wouldn't say he's the greatest player of all time, or arguably. But he's like a legitimately great player normally, who under pressure becomes among the greatest to ever do it already. If this continues, that's how he'll be known. 57, 51, 42. Last year in the first round, game one against Kawhi and Paul George, asleep in the first half, does most of his business in the second half to give his team the win, dropping 45. So why am I spending so much time talking about Donovan Mitchell? Is he the most important player in game two? No. We know what Donovan Mitchell is. And by the way, Kawhi Leonard, is he the most important player in game two? No. Kawhi has had a bad game seven. In fact, against Denver last year, it's why they lost. One of the reasons. But even great clutch players have some bad game sevens. Kobe Bryant couldn't throw it in the ocean game seven at where they won the finals. It was Mehta who was scoring late in that game. Doesn't mean Kobe's not a great clutch player. It means even great clutch players have games where they find it hard to come through. Kawhi did the same thing against Denver last year. But by and large, look at Kobe's track record. Look at Kawhi's track record. Kawhi, actually, is one of the, even Mariano Rivera, who I talked about before, gave up World Series, you know, on hits. Gave up playoff games on home runs. It happens even to the very best. Even to that first level of clutchness. By the way, I didn't mention the lowest level of clutch because it goes down each level, right? I said, the greatest player ever gets even better under pressure. That's the first level. The next level, like Dante's Inferno, the next level, great player becomes among the greatest ever. The next level down. Great player just stays where he is. So the first level is Michael Jordan. The next level is Fernando Valenzuela. Then the player who's great and just stays how he is, Derek Jeter. They're known as clutch because they're always good, and under pressure, they're still good. Then the next level down, guy's not really that good usually. But under pressure, he's great. There was a little middle infielder, Luis Soho for the Yankees. I was on Ryan Russillo's podcast on The Ringer recently and brought up Soho to make my point. And he was a Red Sox fan, and he knows, yeah, you never wanted to see Soho up with guys on base if you're a Red Sox fan. And he couldn't hit, but when it counted, he could. Give you another example. Well, anyway, I can give examples for days. But it keeps going down. Then you get to players who are normally amazing, but under pressure, they're lesser versions of themselves. Greg Maddux, one of the greatest ever, until it mattered most. And then he was still good because when he falls down, there's a long way to fall. But he was clearly not his normal self under pressure. He was lesser then. Still a good pitcher because normally he's great. And it goes all the way down to, oh my God, this guy's the greatest ever. This is the lowest level of clutch hell. The greatest ever, arguably. And under pressure, he sucks. He stinks. Peyton Manning was there for a while. Peyton Manning was the greatest regular season player ever. Even to this day, ever. Regular season, that's the best player ever. In the playoffs, for years, he stunk. It wasn't just that, like, well, he wasn't as good as normal. No, he was bad. His teams were getting shut out. That's not on the defense. That's, you know, the offense. Teams were getting shut out. But eventually, you give that guy enough reps, he's going to have some good performances. A-Rod was there for a while. Oh, my God, A-Rod. Why can't he? Barry Bonds was there for a while. Eventually, you take enough juice, you can't miss the ball. But he was there for a while. And so the reason I set all this up is to say Kawhi Leonard is a great player and a clutch player. And his track record says one of the most clutch players of all time in the NBA. Look at his playoff performances. Compare his normal regular season performances, which are extraordinarily high. They're maybe a half step below MVP level. Then look at his playoff performances, MVP level, all-time great level. Some of the best playoff series of all time, both ends of the floor. So I'm not worried about Donovan Mitchell or Kawhi Leonard. Neither will be the primary factor in this series. The number one determining factor in Clippers and Jazz will be Paul George. What level of clutch hell is he going to be in? Because right now, he ain't Greg Maddux in the regular season, but he's a great player. But he's consistently a lesser version of himself when you need him most. He's not the worst player ever in the playoffs. He's not in the lowest level of clutch hell. He doesn't go from the greatest ever in the regular season because he's not that. To the worst you can imagine in the playoffs, it's not that. He goes from a real good all-star normally to less than an all-star in the playoffs. Now, Kawhi chose him as his running mate, as his crime partner, got the Clippers to trade a whole lot for him, to mortgage the future to get him there, because Kawhi identified him as he can be a second banana. If Paul George can be a second banana, if he can just even be himself, what's Paul George normally? 23 to 25 points. Excellent defense. You know, and his package as a player should play up in the playoffs. You know who has a hard time in the postseason in all sports? The guy who does it just on guile, who doesn't really have the fastball. Because in the playoffs, you're facing better players. They also have guile, but they're also athletic. You're facing better scouting because they have time to prepare for you and game plan differently. So, what you know, that's maybe one of the reasons James Harden doesn't play as well in the playoffs. He's doing it with smoke and mirrors, Harden. Paul George is tall, like long arms, everything, fast. He can jump. He's an athlete. He plays defense. He can shoot. He has the kind of package as a player that should play up. He has skills, offensive skills. He normally has a good basketball IQ. That should play up in the playoffs. It doesn't. He hasn't, which tells me it's between the ears, or else just an adrenaline, like an adrenal response. you know, people, you know, heart pumps Kool-Aid. I'm not accusing them of that. I'm saying that is not even about how you think. It's about the way you're wired, how you respond to pressure. Maybe he's just like that, and he needs more reps. Those kind of guys need more reps under pressure to feel comfortable. Well, he better get comfortable quick, because either Paul George becomes the all-star plus he normally is and the Clippers can win, or the Jazz will send them home. And he came alive in the fourth quarter. There are signs. Just because a guy has choked in the past, even consistently, doesn't mean he's consigned to that fate forever. It's not really like Dante's Inferno. You can jump levels. You're not consigned to that level forever. And I've seen certain signs of him coming alive, like he had a terrible game, terrible first half, Paul George, invisible. And then in the fourth quarter, he got hot. And I thought actually the Clippers were going to win because he got hot. And they almost did. They almost tied it up at the end of the game. It took a great play by Rudy Gobert, I thought, to stop that. But if Paul George doesn't come through, the Clippers don't win. That makes him the most important player in this series. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Coming up, can the Bucks get back into their series against Brooklyn? Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried that your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu. Fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with these guys. They are so legit. Apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. And in as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kevin Durant up to 30 points. This series will shift to Wisconsin. Horn sounds, the biggest playoff win in Nets franchise history. They dust Milwaukee to go up 2-0.
Got a question for me? Ask Max. Coming up, hit me up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, look, Nets at Bucks tonight on ESPN Radio. Brooklyn leads 2-0. Milwaukee is the 3.5-point favorite. I think that's a mistake. Game one, you could say, well, if Milwaukee wouldn't have been so cold, they were getting a lot of good looks, they were missing them, they could have competed in that game, maybe won. Okay. Game two, they got rolled. It's getting worse, not better. I don't think home court's going to turn that all the way around. I think the Nets sweep this Bucks team. Budenholzer, Mike Budenholzer, former coach of the Hawks, 60-win season, then got bounced in the playoffs, coach of the Bucks these Giannis years, where they keep getting bounced after very successful regular seasons. He doesn't agree with me that they're going to get swept. Surprisingly, listen to Coach.
I mean, I think they have a great track record or history of, you know, playing well and responding. You know, we've talked about your characters tested and, you know, this whole group, Chris, Giannis, Drew, Tuck, Brooke, everybody, they've got a long track record of responding and playing good basketball and being a really good basketball team. And so that's what we got to be going into game three.
No, they don't. No, they don't. What are you talking about? They haven't gotten out of the East. And look, let me just say this. We had a debate, a short one, on First Take today about if Giannis and KD swap teams. Now, KD is better than Giannis. I thought Giannis was like a cross between Shaq and Michael Jordan at one point. Not Jordan's handles or you know, shooting ability or anything, but he kind of played like a wing and had that same kind of aggression and could leap and could play defense. And like Shaq, he always brought it hard in the paint. I thought that was going to play in the playoffs because I thought he shot it just well enough, but he doesn't. And he doesn't come through in the playoffs. I mean, that's fair to say about the Greek Freak. Now, I have consistently said that a great big needs more than like a great wing to win a championship. A great big needs another player on his level to win. And I consistently point out Shaq, who needed a prime Wade and Kobe, and Kareem, who needed a prime Oscar and Magic. Because none of those guys, Shaq and Kareem, didn't win any without Wade, Kobe, Oscar, Magic. But, like, well, everyone needs someone, Max. Jordan needed Pippen, right. But Pippen is not Magic or Kobe. The big needs more, needs a guy on his level. Because, and the reason's obvious, you don't run the offense, he doesn't control the offense. He doesn't get his own shot the same way. Even a guy like Jokic needs help, and he does control the offense more than a normal big, and does sometimes bring the ball up, but it's not the same as a wing or a guard, you know, who does that. So when they got Middleton, like the real mistake for Milwaukee is they let Brogdon go. And Brogdon is not only a good player, but he had a salary that could match up. He had value as a player in a trade and a salary you could match in a trade. So you could have brought in maybe Chris Paul instead of Drew Holiday. I like Drew Holiday. He's a big, strong guard. He's clutch, all those things. But he's not Chris Paul. And by the way, Chris Paul and Giannis wouldn't be enough. You'd still need something else. But now you're being more serious about trying to win a championship. That's how it is. It is gangster to win a championship in the NBA. At any rate, if they swap teams, Giannis and Kyrie, it's kind of like a mini Shaq and Kobe. KD with Middleton and Drew Holiday would get farther than Giannis, but it's not enough to win a championship. Not in a conference with a super team like the Nets. But understand what the Nets have if they're healthy. Like, what's the equivalent, right? What do the Nets have versus, like, what the Bucks have? The Bucks have Middleton, who at best is the number three on a championship team, and Drew Holiday, same at best. It's a number three, not a number two. On a championship team, not number twos. But, like, what KD has in Kyrie and Harden's, I understand, not even playing right now, that'd be as though Giannis had, like, what? Like, instead of Drew Holiday, it's Damian Lillard, let's say. And instead of James Harden, call it Luka Doncic. I'm trying to come up with comparable players. Oh, yeah. If you put Luka and Lillard on the same team with the Freak, yeah, they're winning a championship. And that's the point. The reason the Bucks can't win is because the Nets have too many great players. All right. Going to take a... We got Axe Max in about 10 minutes. 888-SAY-ESPN. And Brendan doesn't want... He's sitting in for Raj producing the show today. He doesn't want me to, but I'm going to take a quick call now anyway. Calvin in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Calvin?
Yes. Max, so Rudy Gobert just won defensive player for the third time. Mm-hmm. Where does he rank amongst all-time defensive players?
He's up there for bigs. He definitely is because, like, Dikembe Mutombo used to get the Defensive Player of the Year, and he would change the other team's offense. But I never thought of him as a great one-on-one defense. He was a shot blocker, and he could change the other team's offense. Gobert is more than that, and Gobert can defend in space better than that and is a great defender even in the modern era as a big. But as Ben Simmons pointed out, he can't play defense on ball, on a wing, really, not for long. So when I think of the very greatest defenders ever, I think of Dennis Rodman that I've seen. I understand Bill Russell, that I've seen. I think of Dennis Rodman. I think of Scottie Pippen. I think of Kawhi Leonard. I think of guys like that where they could really defend on ball multiple positions, like at the highest possible level. The Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Although the advanced metrics on Gobert in terms of the real plus minus on defense are really good. Really good. Which kind of flies in the face of what I just said. 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, you got a question for me? Axe Max is coming up next. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
And show Axe Max right now, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. You know, it occurred to me recently that after First Take, I'm not going to bring a change of clothes to the studio, the whole thing, and then have to change into street clothes. I just wear my suit, and I've been loosening the tie. It's still not enough. I just undo the tie. It looks good enough on ESPN Plus. 888-729-3776. All right, who's up first? I don't have my Zoom screen, Brendan, So you're going to have to tell me who's up first on the line.
Axe. Max.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to Martin is up. Martin in Anaheim.
All right, Martin in Anaheim. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Just start talking. Don't start saying what's up. What's up, Martin? Hey. Go.
Hey, check it out. LeBron, ring chaser LeBron, changing his jersey number. Who's he going to try to get now to go join him so he can try to get another ring, which ain't going to happen.
I mean,
but who you think he's going to go after?
Can I mention something? Who wins a ring who does not ring chase nowadays? Who won the title?
I grew up watching watching Jordan.
Okay, Jordan didn't have to ring chase because they got him Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and later Dennis Rodman. He didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, but you yourself, Max, you yourself have said Scottie Pippen wasn't on Jordan's level.
But Pippen
no
was
way,
a great
nowhere near his
yeah,
level.
Yeah, yeah, but if my point is, if you're a big, you need another guy on your level. If you're a wing, you just need some great players. They're like, not only is there no one on Jordan's level, but if you're Jordan, you don't need Hakeem to win, right? If you're Jordan, well, Hakeem didn't need Jordan. Hakeem existed in a league. He won two titles in a league that Jordan wasn't there. As soon as Jordan got back, no more for Hakeem. The point is,
Matt.
Jordan with Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant is enough. But that's Michael Jordan. LeBron James was getting no help in Cleveland, and Gilbert was bringing no help. He's like, the hell with this. He linked up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and later with Kyrie and Kevin Love, and later with AD. Why is that? I mean, is it ring chasing? I guess he didn't want to have his, you know, end his career on bad teams with no rings. But if LeBron's a ring chaser, then all his rings are ring chasing. What about Kawhi? Got one with the Spurs. Right, the guys who don't ring chase are the guys whose team, who the team they're on originally, puts great teams around them. They don't have to ring chase. But even Kawhi left, went to Toronto, and got a ring. Went to the Clippers. Is that ring chasing? He brought Paul George there. KD joined the Warriors. Then brought Kyrie and Harden to Brooklyn. Is that ring? Those are the guys who win. The players are the superstars are now the GMs. But it was no different back in the day. You think Magic won on non-super teams? Kareem and Norm Nixon and everyone there, they mid-season acquisitions of all-stars, and later James Worthy in them? You think Larry Bird won on non-super teams? McHale and Parrish and everybody, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge could shoot the lights out. They had Bill Walton off the bench. No, they all went on super teams. All right, who's next?
Let's go to David in Ohio.
David in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Regarding super teams, I don't think Jordan ever had to face a super team like the Warriors or the Nets. And how would you compare, or how would you think those Bulls teams would do against those two teams?
Thanks. Well, first of all, you can't just pluck teams out of their eras because the Bulls teams couldn't shoot the three and didn't shoot a lot of them back in that day. Just like these teams aren't used to hand-checking. You'd have to think if those Bulls teams existed now, everyone would shoot the three better because they would practice it much more often. And the roster would be slightly tweaked to reflect the fact that they need more shooting. And if that Warriors team went back then, also similar thing. They'd have to get used to a rougher defense and bring on, maybe tweak the roster so you have players who could do that. So you're really not just saying how would they face do against each other. You're saying how did each dominate their own era? The Bulls were the best, clearly, and by far the greatest franchise of all time, greatest dynasty of all time, with the 72-win Bulls, with Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. You had arguably the three greatest defenders at three different positions, the greatest player of all time who was also the greatest scorer, arguably the greatest coach of all time, and you had shooting, too. They had shooters. And they had size in the front court. That was impossible. Those Bulls teams were impossible. But in terms of a collection of talent, if they just want to put them on the court by today's rules in play, probably this Nets team would win, right? Because shooting, you get one extra point for shooting and hitting a three. And that Bulls team wouldn't be allowed to play defense the way they did then. Who else, Brendan?
First, let me say the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Then we'll go to Jonathan in Texas.
Jonathan in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
What's up, Max? I would like to know, who is your favorite out of the West this year? LeBron's out. That's
that's really the guy we know who's going to go win it all. But who was your favorite right now?
If no one was out?
No, well, we know LeBron's out.
If so LeBron, if LeBron right out of the West or in the league?
No, no, just he's out. Period. Right now, out of the first round, who's winning the playoffs for the, on the West side right now?
Oh, and the, that's what I'm asking. Western Conference. I like the Clippers still. I like the Clippers. I think, yeah, I like the Clippers still because when it comes down to it, I see Paul George trending in the right direction, and I think Kawhi is that dude. I think also Rondo helps there. I do think they have shooting, and they have size when they need it, and Batum was an excellent pickup. He's a very good all-around player, and Ty Lue is also a championship coach who obviously, as you can see from the last series, made necessary adjustments, but it's going to come down to Paul George. Can Paul George step up and at least be his regular season self? At least. Who else, Brendan?
Let's go to Andre, Massachusetts.
Andre in Massachusetts, regular caller to the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, Andre?
Max, the Nuggets getting the doors blown off them yesterday had nothing to do with quitting, had nothing to do with not having a sense of urgency. It had to do with atrocious rotation. Michael Malone, how can you play 14 players in a must-win playoff game? What is this, the YMCA? What are we doing, 50-50 playing time? Will Barton came in, he gave you a spark, okay, but he messed up the chemistry.
That was my point, Andre. I agree. That's my point. Will Barton messed up the rotation, and the player that I saw it affect the most was Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon, in the absence of Jamal Murray, is the third most important player on that team. Jokic 1, Porter Jr. 2, Gordon 3. And Aaron Gordon, I thought, was worse affected. Now, Porter Jr.'s bad back didn't help things. Like, that's the reason they didn't have a secondary scorer. And then Aaron Gordon, the third, like, most important player, was worse off. I also did not see them quit. I saw an injured second option and chemistry issues based on reintegrating a piece in Will Barton. I agree. And I think they'll be better in game 3 at home, at altitude. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.